Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? How many of you could have used an extra hour of sleep? I always tell myself I'm going to go to bed earlier, and I never do, and I always regret it the next Sunday morning. So somebody who's got connections, whoever's responsible for daylight savings, I'd appreciate if you'd have them cancel that for the remainder of time. That would be amazing. Well, good morning to each and every one of you. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and just so happy that you're here with us this morning. I'd like to say hello. Let's give a special welcome to all those who are watching or will be listening to our service later this week online. Give them a special welcome. We're so glad that you're with us. Well, today I'm going to jump right into the message. Today we are in part two of a four-part message series on relationships entitled The Vow. And so I want to start by asking a question to all of you. How many of you in the room have ever made a fool of yourself in the name of love? Come on, let me see your hands. If you've ever made a fool of yourself in the name of love, all right. We all have probably. Most of us have done that. I remember, I've shared this story before, but every year we do this, we've got new people in church. But I remember one Christmas season when Shyla and I had been dating for just about a year. I went over to her home one evening while she was working the night shift at Toys R Us. How many of you know that's the worst shift to work during the Christmas season, the night shift at Toys R Us? And so I went over to her home, and for some reason, Oscar and Allison, my mother and father-in-law, they let me in the house. I'm not precisely sure why, but they let me in, and so I had bought some Christmas decorations along with what was the brand new Mariah Carey Christmas CD. Anybody like the Mariah Carey? Yeah, it's probably the best Christmas CD of all times. Yeah. All right, well, some of you agree. I know you'll be singing, you know, like, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." You know, I know you all can sing all the songs, right? But I went up into her room, I put that CD on, and I was going to surprise her by decorating her room all up. But I didn't just decorate. I actually cleaned her room. In fact, I'm embarrassed to say this. I cleaned her room from top to bottom. I swept. I wiped the mirror. I washed the windows. I dusted. I even scrubbed the floor of her room on my hands and knees. When I look back at this, I laugh because I don't know if I ever even cleaned my own room without my parents yelling at me to clean it. But we've all done ridiculous things in the name of love. So if you want to pull out your sermon outline, go ahead. I encourage you to follow along with us and take some notes here with us this morning. The first blank in your sermon outline is this. It says, by nature, we pursue what we don't have. By nature, we pursue what we don't have. And so it's likely that all of us have some kind or some type of crazy story about something we did when we were dating. Maybe you drove all through the night, overnight, through the snow, risking your life to spend 30 minutes with your love bunches, right? Or maybe you emptied it. Maybe some of you could relate to this. You emptied your savings account to attend some ridiculous concert because it was their favorite band. Anybody do something like that, right? I mean, maybe you'd sit on the phone, and after you ran out of things to say, you'd just kind of breathe. Like, I'm not being weird, like, not that, like, but just kind of like, you know, and then you'd have music on in the background. And anybody ever listen to music on the background while you're just sitting on the phone not saying anything? Nobody here? Okay. Two honest. Thank you, Delissa. All right, we got one. Oh, another one back there, Deb, right? And then you'd sit on the phone so long, and it'd be like this. Well, I'm not going to say goodbye. You say goodbye for. I'm not going to say goodbye. No, you hang up. No, I'm not hanging up. You hang up. All right, how about on the count of three, we'll hang up. Ready? And it's 1, 2, 3. Wait, you didn't hang up. right? You got to hang up. And then, you know, the conversation would go for another 30 or 45 minutes. And so we've all got those things. We've all got those stories to prove that we tend to pursue whatever it is that we don't have. But then something happens. Things change. One day you wake up and you realize that things are drastically different and not for the better. And so you begin to wonder, where did all of the intimacy go? Where did the adventure go? Where did the romance go that we once shared? And if we would do an honest assessment, we'd discover that somewhere along our journey, somewhere along the way, our priorities got out of order and we stopped pursuing one another. And instead of continuously trying to garner the favor of the one that we had been so faithful in pursuing, we've reverted back to our old selfish ways. And we've stopped being proactive. Honestly, we get lazy, and laziness, how many of you know this to be true? Laziness has never helped anyone improve in any area of their life. I mean, I want you to think about it. Can you be lazy in your body and get in better shape? No, right? Can you be lazy in business, not lead well, not manage your finances well, and see your business continue to grow? No, it doesn't work. Can you be lazy in your yard and not water it, not fertilize it, and see it improve? No. And so that's why if in your marriage you are unsatisfied and you think the grass looks greener somewhere else, listen, I'm come to tell you this morning, it's time to go water your own yard. That's good preaching right there, but we got to change gears here. So in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at four different vows that will help equip and cause us to have winning marriages that honor God. And so if you were with us last week, we looked at the vow of priority. And the way we achieve priority in our marriage is by making God our first priority and our spouse second, right? And one of the key points in that message was, if you've got children in the home, they cannot be the top priority in your home, or there won't be a marriage left by the time that they grow older. And so for those, I challenge those that aren't married in the room, I encourage you to seek the one while God is preparing you for your two. Next week, we're going to talk about the vow of a partnership, and we're going to look at the difference between a covenant and a contract. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to cover the vow of purity, because wherever secrecy lives, intimacy dies. And so we're going to learn how to live a pure life in a very impure world. And so I encourage you to join us for the next 2 weeks. But today, though, I want to teach about this vow of pursuit. Everybody say the vow of pursuit. All right? And here's the vow. It's simply this. The next blank in your outline, it is, I promise to always pursue my two. I promise to always pursue my two. To celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary, a couple returned to the location of their honeymoon. And after a fun-filled day of nostalgia, they went to the same restaurants and the same attractions. They settled in to retire for the evening, and the wife continued on in this vein of reminiscing about what had been 50 years ago. And so she said to her husband, she said, "Baby, do you remember how you stroked my hair that night?" And so the man lovingly reached out and he brushed her hair with his fingers. She then reminded him of the way that he cuddled her, and so he quickly reached out and he pulled her close and embraced and held his wife. And after a few minutes had passed, she sighed and said, "Baby, won't you nibble on my ear again?" With that, the husband jumped up. He got out of the bed and he left the room and worried that she had upset her husband. She cried. She said, "Where are you going?" To which the husband replied, "I need to get my teeth." So gross. Not so good. So gross. Today we're talking about pursuit. And so while God is my one, I will always be faithful in pursuing my two. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says it this way. It says, "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. In other words, when a man leaves his father and mother, when a man leaves home for marriage, he reprioritizes his relationships. God is number one and his spouse is number two. And the Bible tells us that he is joined to his wife. Now the root word in the Hebrew language that's translated as this word joined is the word dabak. Dabak, and this word means to cling or to adhere. It means to catch by pursuit. It means to pursue hard with affection and devotion. Several weeks ago, I referenced this in a message that the Hebrew language is very different from the English language, in that its words are much like pictures. And so when you can read Hebrew and when you can see a Hebrew word, there are almost many stories, and some Hebrew words can take almost an entire paragraph to state what that one single word means. And so I want to share a few of the other places in Scripture where we see this, where we see how this word dabak is used and translated. Psalm 63, verse 8, the Living Bible says it this way. It says, I follow close behind you. In other words, I'm right there. In other words, I'm never going to let you out of my sight. Job 41:17 translates dabak this way. It says, they are joined fast to one another. They cling together and they cannot be parted. In other words, you can't separate them. This is a great, great picture. Judges 20:45 translates dabak this way. It says, they pursued hard after them. They pursued. They went after with recklessness. They were united. They were joined. And Scripture says they became one flesh. Now, there's a really interesting story in the Bible about a man named Jacob. And if you study the story of Jacob, one of the central figures of the Old Testament, Jacob, he meets this girl named Rachel and he falls head over heels in love with her. And this story really gives us a great picture of this vow of pursuit. But like every great story, this story has a crazy, almost unbelievable plot twist. You see, Rachel was not the only daughter in the family. Rachel had an older sister named Leah who was not married. Now, how many of you have read the Bible and know that God has a sense of humor, right? Like you read some of the things and it's almost like you're going to laugh aloud. This is one of those scriptures. I want you to listen to how the Bible describes these two sisters. It says, there was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. So in other words, Rachel was a babe, right? All the guys wanted to marry Rachel, but Leah, this was the Bible's way of saying she had a great personality. And Jacob wanted Rachel so bad that he went to her father Laban and said, hey, I'd love to marry her. Would you give me your hand in marriage? I'll do whatever you ask. And so Laban says to Jacob, he says, fair enough. I'll give you my daughter's hand in marriage if you will work 7 years for me. I wonder how many of us in the room would still be married if we had to, or would have ever gotten married if we would have had to have worked for 7 years for our spouse. Don't raise your hand. All right. And so without hesitation, Jacob says, yeah, I'll do it. And so he works the 7 years. And what's crazy is Scripture tells us that he was so in love with her that the time just flew by. And so once the 7 years passed, instead of sending Rachel into Jacob's tent to commensurate the marriage, Laban did a bait and switch. And instead, he sent his older daughter, Leah, the homely one, the one with a good personality. And as all I can say when I read this story, it must have been dark. She must have had a veil on or he was lit, right? I mean, he was messed up. Jacob was messed up because Jacob sleeps with Leah and he doesn't even realize it until the next morning. That's a whole nother message right there. We'll save that for another time. But as you can imagine, Jacob wakes up in the morning and he's rubbing his eyes and he looks down and, oh my God, right? And he flipped out. He said, wait a minute. He goes to Laban. He says, that wasn't the agreement. I wanted Rachel. And so Laban said, well, in our culture, the oldest daughter must be married first. Why don't you work for me another 7 years? And a lot of people think that Jacob had to work 7 more years before he got Rachel. But what happened is Laban gave Rachel to him right away with the agreement that he owed him 7 more years. And I love the imagery of this, because as you read through this story, Jacob was willing to work for Rachel another 7 years even after he already had her. And I believe that this is what God wants us to do in our marriages this morning. He wants us to continue to pursue our spouse after we already have them. I will always pursue my number two. The scripture says they were united, they were joined together, and they became one flesh. You see, when we're dating, when we try to gain the approval and attention of the one who has caught our eye, we pursue each other like crazy. And there isn't any length that you won't go to in order to make a good impression. How many of you have gone to crazy lengths to make a good impression to the one that you are hoping to catch their eye? Anybody here ever gone to some crazy? 2 people here. Wow, we need to have a whole nother series here. All right. I remember the year I graduated from high school, my gift from my parents for graduation was a 2-week missions trip to South Africa. And Shyla and I had been probably dating, I don't know, 7 or 8 months by that point. And so I thought, well, man, that's just a long time to be apart. And so what I did is I went and I bought this box and I bought like cards and I bought little gifts and I bought all this stuff, one for every day that I was gone. And I had them all written out. And I'd gone to the post office, made sure I knew the day that it would be delivered so that she would get it on that day. And so then every day there was something. One day flowers came. But I remember one of the things I did. How many of you remember back in the day, if you're from Milwaukee, one of the local music stations, you could call in and make, you know, request dedications. I forgot that guy's name. It was a guy. Does somebody remember? No? Nobody remembers? I can't remember his name. It wasn't Delilah. Delilah was the nationally syndicated one, but there was a guy that was local here in Milwaukee, and so I had called, and I had requested this song. I said, all right, now I'm going to be in Africa. You have to do it this day, and what time are you going to do it? And so then I recorded this message, and so in one of the letters it said, Charlie, you need to listen to the radio at this time. Make sure you have a tape in so you can record it. How many of you remember mixtapes? Yeah, I'm taking it back here, right? And so we did all that also. I went through all of those things, all of this work, and why did I do that? I did it because I was pursuing her, and I wanted to get her to love me. And sadly, many of us stop pursuing once we get the man or woman of our dreams to say yes. And the result of our lack of pursuit is that our relationship suffers, and if we leave it that way too long, it will eventually die. Now I want to pause here for a moment, because I realize we've got some in the room who aren't married yet, and I want to give you some great advice. If you're dating someone right now, so if you're in a relationship right now, and they do not show mutual pursuit, listen, you need to run far away. Run, Forrest, run. Like, you just keep running and you don't stop. Exactly. I get the hands going just like that. You need to run away. Because if you're dating someone right now and they don't show mutual pursuit, what's going to happen is it's only going to get worse when you get married. And so if he's not doing anything that looks like a date, if he's not ever dressing up, if he's not ever spoiling you and dropping some money on you, if he's not ever buying you anything special, listen, it should go off. Warning, warning, beep, 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 like red lights, like you need to run far away. Because ladies, this is what I want you to hear this morning. You are worth pursuing. Amen. On the other hand, men, if your girl isn't writing you love notes or sending you text messages telling you how handsome and manly and strong you are, if she's not doing something to show an interest in you and the things that you love, then you need to pay attention as well. Warning light should be going off in your head, because when you get married, pursuit doesn't go up. Most of the time, it goes down. And so if you're not seeing it while you're dating, I encourage you to reevaluate the validity of the relationship, because this is what I want you to understand. All of us in this room, we are all worth pursuing. And so I want to get real practical this morning and give you some ways to live out the vow of pursuit, because let's be honest, nobody gets engaged, nobody goes through all the planning and the money that's spent on the wedding and thinks this. Nobody does that and thinks, you know what? I want to have a bad marriage.
You know what? I want to lose intimacy. I want to fall out of love with my spouse. I want to have an affair. I want to divide everything that we own and see it divided in divorce court. And I want to get to see my kids every other weekend or every other week. No one says that, right? We all have good intentions, but somewhere along the way, something happens. Maybe we get tired. Maybe we get overwhelmed with life. Maybe we get lazy. Maybe we get complacent. And while we want to show the love that we feel, many of us simply do not do it. And so how do we close the gap between our intentions and our actions? How do we bring that closer together? In other words, I want to do good things. I have great intentions, but I'm struggling to follow through. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there where you've had some great intentions to do some things, but we just struggle to make it happen? I want to give you three scriptural principles that'll help us always pursue our two. Here's the first one. Number one, when you think something good, say it. Every time you think something good of your spouse, say it. Key word, good. We all do the other one pretty well, actually. When we think something good, say it. Why would I ever rob Shiloh of the blessing of a positive thought without giving it life and saying it to her? Hebrews 3:13 tells us, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If you want to keep the deceitfulness of sin out of your marriage, out of your relationship, one of the ways that you can do it is to encourage one another daily. Every time you think something good, you should say it. And so let me break this down a little bit more and give you a couple pieces of advice, starting with the men. All right, all the men in the room, here you go. Men, pursue her with words of affection. Let me make it a little bit more specific, because sometimes we don't always get things right, man, unless it's really specific. Pursue her with non-sexual affection. Now, some of you guys are thinking, what's non-sexual affection? Does that exist? It does. It does exist. You know, guys, we have this innate ability to make just about anything sexual. And don't be lying in church and say, no, we don't. Like, it's almost like a spiritual gift that we're born with, right? Shall I ask, hey, Andrew, can you go fill up my car with gas? And I'll be, oh, baby, I'll fill up your tank, you know? Or will you go with me to the store? And then I'll say, oh, yeah, I'll take you out. Right? Guys can do that. It's a gift. And I want you ladies to understand, just take a deep breath. They're not being a pervert. It's just how God created us, all right? It's just there's nothing wrong with that. But nonetheless, gentlemen, I want to challenge you to pursue your wife with non-sexual affection. And so one practical way that we can do this is when you say, I love you. All right, and if you're not saying I love you, you need to put that in your vocabulary. It's something that our loved ones need to hear. But when we say I love you, here's what I want you to do is add the word because and then change the ending every time you say it. I love you because you're my best friend. I love you because you've been faithful to me. I love you because you're an amazing mother. I love you because even though we're in the middle of a difficult season right now, you're still by my side. I love you because. Pursue her with words of affection. She needs it, and it brings tremendous value. When you think something good, say it. Set those words free and be a blessing to your wife. Now, ladies, I would challenge you to pursue him with words of affirmation. Pursue him with words of affirmation. Ladies, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Your husband will become who and what you see him as. So speak words of affirmation. As a pastor, as I prep for the Sunday service every week, I put a lot of work. I spend a lot of hours trying to have something meaningful and applicable to share with you guys on Sunday morning. And honestly, there are some weeks where I just can't tell if the message was a total bomb or not. I feel like I'm preaching and it just makes it over the edge of the stage and just falls like a lead balloon kind of right there. And so on those days when that happens, I just long to hear Shiloh say, hey, Andrew, that was a great message. Because here's what's the truth. If Shiloh thought it was good, then it doesn't matter what anyone else in this room thinks, right? And this is so important. I just want to encourage you, ladies, take it a step further. Don't ever tell your man what he's not. It's one of the most demoralizing things that you can do in your relationship. When you say, you know, you're not this, or you're not that, or you always do this, or you never do that. Listen, we just want to take our ball, go home, and bury our head in the sand. So be careful of the language that you speak, because even if your husband is not quite there yet, you need to speak prophetic words of affirmation. In fact, the Bible tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so because your words have the power to help him grow into the man, your words have the power to help him grow into the man that you hope that he will be, the way that you see him. And the words you speak over him are essential elements to who he becomes. Here's the next blank in your outline. Men, she wants to know, do you love me today? Do you love me today? I understand you said I love you when you said I do, but for some of us, it's been months. It's been a long, long time since we spoke, I love you today. Ladies, he wants to know, do you believe in me today? Do you believe in me today? So how do we close the gap between our intentions and our actions? The first way is to, anytime you think something good, say it. You ready for number two? Say, I'm ready. All right, number two, when you think something special, do it. When you think something special, do it every time. Anytime you think something special, do it. And while this verse that I'm getting ready to read isn't really about marriage per se, I challenge you to apply the principle of James 4:17 to your relationship. It says this, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. And so anytime that you know something good that you should do to be a blessing to your spouse, I want you to set that free and do it. Come home early from work, you know, order some takeout, go eat dinner together at the park, you know, buy tickets to see his favorite team or his favorite band and just tell him, hey, let's do whatever you would like to do. I just want to be with you. You know, guys, give the kids a bath if you've got little ones, or put them to bed, load the dishwasher, send her flowers if you can't afford to send them, then just pick them up, all right? Be creative. Fill the car up with gas. Write, you know, little love notes on sticky notes and put them every place that you know that your wife is going to be throughout the house that day. Listen, whatever the activity may be, it's important that we join each other in our spouse's interests. So the way that we win at marriage, the way that we achieve the vow of pursuit is when you think something good, say it. When you think of something special, do it. Don't delay. Here's the third one. This is so important. This is the key to the message. Number three, when you want something different, be it. When you want something different, be it. I'm just going to pause here. I want that to settle in. If you want something different, be it. If you're unsatisfied in your relationship, be the change that you want to see. I just want to press in here for just a moment, make it a little bit uncomfortable if I haven't already made it uncomfortable for you. There's some of you that you've sat here the last 2 weeks, and you're thinking, well, if my husband just did this, or if my wife just did that, if they would just do whatever it is that Pastor Andrew is saying, if they would just learn to be that person, then I'd be, and then just fill in the blank with whatever you would be. Come on. So many marriages are in trouble. So many marriages are in trouble today because we're too busy pointing the finger at the other person. Listen, do not gripe about what your spouse is not. Instead, you need to become who God has called you to be. If you want something different, then you start being it. Because when we start being molded into who God has called us to be, I promise you that it'll spark something healthy and beautiful in our relationship that accomplishes what no amount of nagging and no amount of tearing down could ever do. Listen, hear me this morning. You cannot criticize your way into a better marriage. The only person in this world that we can change is ourselves. The moment you start attempting to apply this series to your spouse, you've missed the entire point. If you want to be something different, then start becoming something better. So I challenge you to clear your schedule. In fact, it may not even fit, but clear your schedule. Go on a quick date this evening. I want you to take a notepad with you and ask your spouse. Ask him this question: how can I better support you? How can I be a better spouse? How can I better show you my love? And then here's the deal. When you ask that question, don't get all mad and defensive, right? Then you defeat the whole purpose of the exercise. But you ask that and be quiet and listen and prepare yourself for the answers, because the answers will reveal the areas that need our attention. And I promise you, once you begin to work on these areas, your relationship is going to grow healthier and it's going to become stronger than it has ever been. But here's the deal. You got to be willing to go there. You got to be willing to have difficult conversations. You've got to be willing to talk. Remember when you would talk all the night long and you would spend all night and you wouldn't even be talking about anything. And then something happens where we become guarded in our relationship and we begin to build up walls and say, well, I can't say that because I don't want to have a fight. And then I can't say this because I don't want to start an argument. And then what happens is before long, all of these walls have been built up and we aren't able to communicate. It's like we're hitting this brick wall. And I want to challenge you: tear those walls down. And how do you tear them down? By having honest conversations. We've got to be willing to go there. We've got to be willing to be the change that we want to see. Men, I challenge you, take the lead on this. Embrace the leadership role that God has called for you to do. You may say, well, there's no way my wife would ever do it. Then fine, you go and take the lead and say, baby, what do I need to do for you to be the husband that I know God has called me to be? Would you help me? Would you point me in the right direction? If you don't like what you're getting, take a look at what you're giving. Instead of complaining, ask yourself, what more can you give in order to pursue your two? Because there was a time when it didn't matter what it was, you would do it. There was a time when you did stupid things out of love in pursuit of the one that you were trying to gain their attention. Two final points for your outline, very simple, but so profound. To get what you've never had, you must do what you've never done. To get what you've never had, you must do what you've never done. And the second one is this: to get what you once had, you must do what you once did. Those here in the room, maybe your marriage might be struggling. Listen, I want you to hear me. You had it before. And you can get it again. You know what to do. You know the things to do because you did all those things, which is what eventually allowed your spouse to say yes. So if you'll reach out, if you'll show some romance, if you'll show some tenderness, if you'll show some affection, if you'll pursue your spouse like you once did, as long as abuse is not present over time, what's going to happen is the heart is going to soften and romance is going to return. In Revelations 2:5, Jesus was talking to the church in Ephesus who had fallen away from him. And while this is a different context, I think this would be such a wise verse to apply this to our marriage. It says this: consider how far you've fallen. Then watch this word: repent. Repent. Do the things you did at first. Those who are brave enough to do the date that I just mentioned, after your spouse talks to you, listen, you need to apologize. You need to repent. You need to change your ways. You need to ask for forgiveness. Return to your vows. I will love and cherish. for better or for worse, for rich or for poor, in sickness and in health. All of us in this room, we know how to pursue. So don't waste the gift. Don't waste the spouse. Don't waste the helpmeet that God has given you. Fall in love all over again. Because I know that you can have the marriage of your dreams. You can have the marriage that other people look upon with fondness. As I close this message this morning, I hope you'll understand, step away from the relationship picture. I hope you'll understand that God is a God who pursues us. So much so that when mankind was separated from God because of sin, he chose to come to earth. He left his throne in heaven. He left the heavens. He chose to come to earth in order to be our Savior. In fact, Jesus, as he walked the earth, he even told a story about the good shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one wandered away. And that good shepherd, what did he do? He didn't say, oh, I've got 99. Who cares about the one who wandered away? No, no, no. He left the 99 to go after the one that was lost. And I believe that there are those in the room this morning who recognize the fact that you are the one that God is pursuing. He wants to be first in your life. He wants to be your Savior and Lord. There are those who recognize you're not walking intimately in relationship with God. But right now, listen, I believe that there are those in this room that can sense that something is happening and something is drawing you close to Him. And what is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. God is drawing you to Him as He pursues you, and it's your day to say, you know what? Yes, I need His grace. Yes, I need His forgiveness. Yes, I give my life to Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, those who would say, you know what, I am a sinner. I do need Jesus. And today, Jesus, I'm ready to call on You. Lord, I'm asking You to take my life and make me new. If that's the way you feel this morning, if you're ready to make that step, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over the place. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank You for the power of Your word. Lord God, and we thank You that You never stop pursuing us. And so, Lord God, for those hands that went up around this room, Lord Jesus, I pray right now, Lord God. Lord Jesus, Lord, as we commit, Lord Jesus, to turn towards You, to go Your way, Lord God, we put aside our own evil and fleshly desires, Lord God, and we give our life to You. We give our hearts to You. Lord, take everything. Lord, take it all, Lord Jesus. We give it to You. Lord, we receive the sacrifice that You paid for us at Calvary. Thank You for new life today, Jesus. Lord, this morning, Lord, I want to lift up, Lord God, every person in this room, Lord Jesus, who's in a marriage, Lord God, and I think all of us, if we're being honest in a moment of reflection, there are places that we could be better, and there are places that we could grow, and there are places that we could better serve one another. And so, Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would gently convict, and Lord God, that You would reveal the areas that we need to step up and come up higher, Lord Jesus. Lord God, for those that are in this room, Lord God, whose marriages are falling apart, seemingly hanging by a thread, Lord God, I pray that You would give us courage and strength and faith to continue pursuing, even though it looks like it's not going to work out. Lord God, give strength and peace to brokenness. Lord God, the ones that the enemy has whispered in their head, there's no use. Just give up. There's no point. Lord God, You are a healer, and You are a healer of relationship. And Lord God, I believe that You brought us together with our spouse, Lord God, to be an amazing unit together. And so, Lord God, I just pray, Lord Jesus, right now, that You would strengthen the bond of marriage in this room this morning. Lord Jesus, for every person under the sound of my voice that isn't yet married, Lord Jesus, that we would pursue You. And Lord God, that as we pursue You, Lord God, that You would prepare us for that perfect someone that You're going to send one day. And Lord God, we just thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, and your mercy. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.